Please join me in the opening prayer. Eternal God, neither death nor life can separate us from your love. Grant that we may serve you faithfully here on earth, and in heaven rejoice with all your saints, who ceaselessly proclaim your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. The proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our failure to be what you created us to be. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering through ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. By your loving mercy, help us to live in your light and abide in your ways, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone and a new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Amen. Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you have gathered us here through your Holy Spirit. You have formed us as your church. Open our hearts now that we may discern your word for us today. In your name we do pray. Amen. Our first reading comes to us from the book of Isaiah, which we are studying in the adult education class in the mornings, if you'd like to join us. This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. Listen now for the word of our Lord. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And I will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Our second reading from Scripture this morning is found in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, in chapter 21, 1 through 6a. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, See, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this. For these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
One of my great privileges of ministry is being able to celebrate with you the death of members of the church, as well as the death of those who have died in our community, people who are close to us. It is a real privilege to be here in this sanctuary to mourn with those who mourn, to read those beautiful prayers from our liturgy, to celebrate their life and to commend them to our God. In particular, this past year, I remember the funeral of Jim Guth, a quiet man who sat in the rear of the sanctuary from Kasota, Minnesota, from Depot Town. I remember in particular the graveside service. Remember, we all exited the church here, and we got into the big black limousines, drove through Kasota, past Depot Town, down to Mankato, up onto a hill in a graveyard. It was a hot summer day, and I remember exiting the cars, and it was so humid that my glasses fogged over immediately. And we all got out of the cars, and I walked down by that little tent that they set up over the open grave, and I watched as they unloaded his coffin, and as the pallbearers walked his coffin down to the grave, and the family gathered around, and I encouraged them to step forward a little closer. And then I read those beautiful words from Psalm 23. We said a few prayers, and I stepped back a few feet and allowed the family to say goodbye. And I stood there and I watched as his siblings and family burst into tears as they hugged and comforted one another. And I watched all this as I was able to look down this hill to the city of Mankato below and the river in the background. And it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. There's something about the tears of those who mourn that's beautiful. There's something about that hill, that bluff, that green grass, the trees, and that thin blue river. It just struck me. It almost had that feeling of being like a movie, as though I was watching something from afar, with the privilege of being part of it. I was unable to attend the funeral of my grandmother, who died a few years ago. But a year and a half ago, Sarah and I and our family went to Pennsylvania on vacation, and we were able to go back to her gravesite in Burnham, PA, a small steel milling town, which is still in operation today, producing round things like parts for trains. And Sarah and I didn't really know where we were going, which just explains most of my life. But we just kind of let the Holy Spirit lead us, found our way up a hill, through an old cemetery. I remember someone saying that her grave was on the right-hand side in the back, so I kind of went in that direction, and lo and behold, and I was able to spend some time with my deceased Mimi. Perhaps you have memories of times that you spent at gravesites. All of this beauty and stillness and dignity makes me wonder, what is heaven like? I have a young theologian at home. He's about 6 years old, almost seven. And he's getting to that age where he asks those questions that cause his parents to scramble and wonder, what is heaven like? What is heaven like? What do you say to a child? What is heaven like? Our culture wants to say that heaven is like a lot of clouds with a gate and someone playing the harp, and a man in a white beard guarding the gates, asking really difficult questions, like a pop quiz of theology. And if you answer the questions right, you go in, and if not, you know, somewhere else. There's really nothing in the Bible that describes a scene like that. I'm not sure where people got this idea from. When we read the Bible, a very different picture of the kingdom of heaven emerges. Consider these words from Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich foods, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations, and he will swallow up death forever. What kind of images does that bring to mind? This mountain where death is destroyed. And again, in the book of Revelation, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, presented as a bride adorned for her husband. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples. Death will be no more. When the Bible talks about those things that we can't understand, the Bible talks about things like mountains and cities. The Bible talks about the earth and a new earth. Not clouds, but the ground. Thursday afternoon. Remember the weather Thursday afternoon? Remember that? Cold, wet, miserable, windy. I remember, because I was outside in a ditch in some farmer's field who had generously donated his ditch to a bunch of crazy people from St. Paul who are experimenting with a new tiling system. Tiling systems, some of us know much more about these than I do, but apparently these are systems that drain the water away from farmers' fields. And there's a big issue in southern Minnesota because the water that comes off the fields often contains too much nitrogen and it often comes off too quickly in the spring. And so this group from St. Paul, they are trying to find a way of tiling that is more sensitive to our environment, to the rivers, and is economically feasible for farmers. So they're installing a new tiling system in this farmer's fields, and the job of a group of us from St. Peter and Mankato was to plant these cord grasses in this ditch, and the theory is that the cord grasses will absorb the water and slow down the runoff so that the water entering the river will be purified of nitrogen and will enter more slowly with less sediment. I showed up in my Nikes and my jeans. If you would like a free pair of Nikes, stop by my house. We were all freezing cold, and there were a few others from church who were there too. And we were motivated to get done. We were due to finish at 4, but we were done well before 3. It was dirty, cold, wet work. People kept looking at me strangely with a bemused look, and I got home and looked in the mirror and realized that my nose was covered in mud. When the Bible talks about heaven, the Bible talks about the earth, a new heaven and a new earth. So if you want to see what heaven looks like, get down in the mud. If you want to see what heaven looks like, go to St. Peter's Gate. I mean, really, go to St. Peter's Gate. It's right here in Broadway. Take a right. Park your car. Exit the car. Walk over to the gate and look through it. What will you see? Maybe you'll see something beautiful. A river. trees, and grass. Maybe you'll see something broken, a river full of sediment and too much nitrogen. You'll see something old, a first thing, something passing away for a new thing, as God redeems all of God's creation. The heavens and the earth belong to our Lord, and in God's time, God will dwell here on earth with us, and the Lord alone will be our God, and God will wipe away the tears of those who mourn on God's holy mountain when death is destroyed forever. Thanks be to God.